Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast. Today is August 28, 2020, and the Coconuts Podcast delivers impactful, weird, and wondrous reporting by our journalists on the ground in 8 cities. Singapore, Bangkok, Hong Kong, Manila, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Yangon, and Bali. Listen to headline news and insightful interviews on matters large and small, designed for people located in or curious about Southeast Asia and Hong Kong.
I'm Vim Shanmugam.
And I'm Summer Lee.
Hi Summer, how are you?
Hi Vim! I'm good, how are you?
Good, it's been a good week, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Same thing, you know.
Busy week, and busy week, and that's why Byron's not joining us today. He's extremely swamped, so it's just us, dynamic duo. We don't have an interview today, unfortunately, but we do have some juicy, juicy stories, so I think that should keep everyone satisfied.
Okay, Doja Cat, but yeah.
let's get to it. Calling all content creators, producers, and directors. The Asia TV Forum and Market, ATF, is back for its 21st edition this year, and they want to hear your ideas. ATF is an annual event that offers opportunities for co-production, financing, and content acquisition. And this year, the event will be completely virtual, so if you have the next big idea, get your pitches ready. Head over to the ATF 2020 website for more information. That's asiatvforum.com.
Ooh. And for our top stories of the week, we start off in Hong Kong where, oh my gosh, there is a video showing a Hong Kong domestic helper spitting into baby milk formula.
Oh dear.
Yep. So this was while she was preparing her milk formula. And this video has gone viral on Facebook. So in the 28-second clip, this woman is seen holding an infant bottle and scooping milk powder into it. And then she spits a glob of saliva into the bottle before walking away with it.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. But yeah, so according to a caption that accompanied the video, the woman is an Indonesian domestic worker who has since been let go by her employer. And yeah, I understand why.
Rightfully so.
Dude, it's in the middle of a pandemic. Spitting is wrong, period. Dude, like all those old men on Geylang, please, tolong, please keep it in.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
I mean, it's just gross in any circumstance. But yeah, with COVID-19 around, that is actually, you know, you could say that could be murder because it could lead to someone getting really ill and dying.
Yeah, and this is a helpless baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Did they give her a reason? Did she give her a reason as to why it happened or...
It seems like they've been butting heads, the employer and the employee, you know. So I guess trying to get back at her employer, but what, through her baby? Come on, man.
Yeah, and it's not the first time, right? Wasn't there like an incident where a maid like burnt a baby's like hands over like a hot stove or boiling water and stuff?
It seems that in June, right, the Hong Kong Federation of Asian Domestic Workers Unions, FADWU, they said that domestic workers are actually facing increased discrimination, including from their employers, since the coronavirus began. So it's like, you know, we're all trapped inside and it's just, we're just not getting along. And this leads to actions like these, you know, in retaliation. It's really sad.
Yeah, actually, I guess I never really understood that sort of, you know, psychographics. It is quite a unique thing because if you have a helper who, you know, goes back, who has a break day, like a break day somewhere where they can go somewhere else or potentially even like return home like every month or a couple months, you know, you have that sort of break. But once you're there with your employer and vice versa, it's a new sort of dynamic, I feel.
It's true. And then I guess like on the side of the domestic helpers, they are like kind of forced to work longer hours seeing as, you know, nobody can go outside, the kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely unfair on both sides. And I don't know, it's just, but it definitely doesn't warrant, you know, spitting into a baby's bottle.
Yeah, that's not cool, man. Not cool at all. Well, a little bit of interesting, I guess, maybe good news, but also met with some controversy. Well, the next story is in Thailand. Paranoia and xenophobia meet plan to reopen Phuket to tourists. So if you haven't heard, in October, Phuket's going to be the first sort of island that's going to be used as a guinea pig entry system for the Thailand tourism. People are going to be able to go to Phuket, but there are some protocols. You have to quarantine yourself for 14 days. You have to be prepared to stay in Thailand for 30 days. So it's essentially the first step into inviting tourism back into the country, and they're going to use that as sort of a gauge to see whether there are any more spikes, whether there's a sudden increase or second wave of COVID-19. But this has been met with some disgruntled local Thai people who feel that it's a life and death matter, and they're unsure whether tourism should trump health. And you know, it's one of those things where I think it can go either way, because there are a lot of islands and certainly a lot of like tourist areas in Thailand that just completely depend on the economy, just depends on tourism. And they're all like basically like dying right now. Like, you know, like there's a lot of poverty, a lot of like businesses have closed down, and, you know, people just have too much debt and are really struggling. So in a way, they kind of need the tourism back. But at what risk?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like you said, like a country very dependent on tourism. I see, you know, the struggle. And I also saw that in Thailand as a whole, I think the government's giving out grants for Thai nationals to kind of travel around the country. But yeah.
There's a subsidy for air travel. I think it's gone from like 1,000 baht to 2,000 baht to get people traveling domestically to different parts of Thailand, and even like hotel prices have like dropped for Thai people to spend more time elsewhere. But yeah, it's really a tough one, because I feel like this is going to be the case for pretty much everywhere. You know, there's going to be sort of a phase where people are going to be tentatively coming in, and you know, everyone will be gauging what the rewards versus the risk is.
Yeah, and then again, on the other side, like, of course, we speak as Singaporeans where, like, you know, it's like freaking, I don't know, going to Thailand, like, every year is, like, not a stretch. It's like every Singaporean's, you know, kind of deal. Yeah. We just go to Thailand for fun.
So absolutely. It's like,
who's going to be first? Are we all going to jump on this, Singaporeans? Let me know.
I think the 30-day requirement is kind of tricky, because you have to quarantine yourself 14 days. And remember, you have to pay for the quarantine hotel yourself. I'm sure that probably there's probably like subsidized rates and stuff, but you're just going to be in your hotel for the first 14 days. Maybe you can see the beach.
Choose a cute hotel that you don't mind staring at for, you know, 14 days.
you probably want to stay at one of those resorts, right? Like that, where at least you have a pool. But I don't even know whether that works. Like whether during quarantine you can be in a, you know, COVID-19 infested pool.
Yeah. Ew. Human soup.
Oh no.
But okay, moving on to Bali. This headline's weird. There's a video showing a Korean oppa catcalled on the Bali street. It sparks discussion on street harassment among Indonesians. And yeah. No matter who you are, dude, catcalling is never okay. Like, we know women get the bulk of it. Yeah. And of course, this person in question is a dude. But yes, it doesn't make it any better. So yeah, we feel the need to kind of emphasize that after this video sparked an online discussion on the issue, with one of the posters provocatively alleging the double standard in that men are called predators when committing street harassment, while it is seen as mere appreciation of the victim's good looks when women do it. No, it's wrong, period.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one, because I think, you know, that there's always that sort of misnomer that you know, okay, like if it usually happens to women, but I guess like it happens to like guys as well. I've never been catcalled, so sad.
Hey, or, that's a good thing. No,
actually I don't, yeah, that's what I mean. But it's one of those things where I think there's always a bit of a double standard, I guess. So I'm glad, like, you know, there is sort of awareness to this.
Yeah, for real. It's so weird as well. The video starts out with text cards that say tips to find a boyfriend easily and flirting with oppa on the sidewalk, and proceeds with a woman and her friends calling to a man who appeared to be South Korean, just standing by himself. Dude is just minding his business, looking at his damn phone. And yeah, you know, to call somebody, hey, oppa, it's kind of, oh my God, it's kind of grossy, dude. It's like, you don't want that.
Oppa means like brother, right? Like Korean brother or something. Like, yeah. Like older bro or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's like, I don't know. You know how people have been calling our new MP, James Lim, daddy and oppa in his comments, that kind of thing.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Like, yeah, there's a social meaning to oppa now, it seems. And woo.
That's so funny. I wonder, like, I mean, they must be quite bold women. Like, are they, they're Indonesians, right? Because they posted everything in Bahasa.
Yep.
So they maybe they're all like, what is that boy band? BTS fans.
Oh man, they're gonna come for you. So once they listen to this, how dare you not know the name?
Oh no.
But yeah, let me just repeat what this poster said. In this person's words, he did not feel harassed at all, and he was just happy. If you all don't know the situation, don't be quick to judge. Maybe it's true that the words in my caption were not appropriate, but oh my gosh, she was like trying to kind of justify, you know, what they did. But
Ouch. Actually, not cool. Mm-hmm. Well, now to a somber, I guess a bit of a tough story in the Philippines. Some famous celebrities have stopped helping John Regala, alleging constant abusive self-medication. Do you know who John Regala is? I assume that since you're a youngin, you probably don't.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I don't. Who is this?
So John Regala is actually like a really big, like, sort of 1990s like action star in Manila, sort of like Jean-Claude Van Damme, okay, I would say, but maybe. So he was in a lot of like action films. He usually played like a villain. And yeah, I think like he had like a really tough year, or tough few years. You know, he got divorced from his wife. His mom passed away. And he's had like his health hasn't been the best, and a lot of his like family sort of just kind of left him alone. So three showbiz personalities who had actually come to his aid because he was found ill in a small village. You know, they were sort of helping him raise money for his ailments and whatnot. They basically put out a statement saying that he was a very uncooperative and difficult individual. And basically that he has been like, you know, sort of drinking himself into this bad health. So the three personalities, former actors Chucky Dreyfus, Nadia Montenegro, and entertainment writer Esther Amoyo, they just said that, you know, he has severe liver cirrhosis due to his drinking, and they can't just help someone who continues to abuse himself, and that, you know, it would be sort of dishonest of them to raise money for him to sort of just continue his lifestyle, and they would prefer to use the funds more wisely, and they just basically challenged him to sort of like just get better and get sorted, and he didn't, you know, kind of get away from what his current situation is. So kind of a sad mm-hmm. story.
Yeah, it just seems like a laundry list of things. What, his mother's death, his separation from his wife, the illnesses, and what, the abandonment of his relatives.
Yeah, and abandonment of relatives. And yeah, I'm sure like COVID-19 probably doesn't help us as well. It's a tough thing, you know. Like, I think a lot of people do think that, you know, sometimes celebrity, especially like when you're in your heyday, there are times that, you know, the spotlight kind of goes elsewhere.
Just gets you. Like all those child stars, I'm thinking, like when you grow up and oof.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there's always sort of like an ebb and flow. There's always like a high point, and then, you know, you sort of like move away. And I think that's the period that a lot of people sort of like suffer with. Yeah. If you hadn't, you know, like taken care of your finances or, you know, made sure that you took advantage of your fame and celebrity at that point. So kind of a sad story. Hope he gets the help he needs and kind of gets back on his feet.
Yeah, man. And yeah, over in Bangkok, after 90 years, Bangkok's Muslim restaurant is going to serve its last mutton biryani.
No.
Yeah, it's a legendary halal restaurant in Bangkok's Old Quarter, and it was shut down next week after nearly a century. This dude is older than me. This entire restaurant, it's older than me by like, five times?
Than us combined, I feel.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, after serving delicious, authentic, Muslim-friendly dishes for over 90 years, the unambiguously named Muslim restaurant, iconic, on, I hope I don't butcher this, Charven Krung Road, has announced that it will cease operations September 1st due to years of losses, mainly stemming from rising rent. And yeah, I guess the pandemic was the final straw after it was forced to close and saw tourism evaporate. No! But yeah, So the restaurant co-owner, Natapol Pakayawong, said that even though we haven't had a profit for a long time, the only reason we fought until today was because the restaurant was founded by our grandpa and his passion. Stop it, I'm crying. Where are the tissues?
Oh no, so sad.
Yeah, so the family-run restaurant, they're famous for their signature recipes, including mutton curry, chicken murtabak, and milk tea, and has been popular with generations of Thai Muslim locals, tourists, and Assumption College students. And yeah, it's mountain biryani was only served Monday and Friday. And you're telling me I haven't got the chance to eat there before y'all are going to close? Oh my gosh, this pandemic is really...
I know.
I'm going to fight the pandemic.
So sad. Yeah, I wonder. I've had like mutton, well, biryani in Thailand before, not at this restaurant. But it's a little different. I mean, it's kind of similar to biryani here. And I think for people who don't know, biryani is sort of like an Indian slash Middle Eastern slash Malay. I think it's an amalgamation. I think every one of those like cultures have their own version, and it's just basically meat cooked with like spices and rice, yes. Very flavorful, like curry and you know, I don't want to butcher it, but a lot of like cool spices, you know, aromatic spices. Yeah, it's a little bit different from what we eat in Singapore. Like it's more mild, but there's also sort of like hints of, you know, Thai style like ingredients like lemongrass and, you know, a little bit of basil and stuff. Yeah, especially with the side dishes, certainly. Yeah, it might not directly be in the biryani, but like certainly like served with the side dishes that it comes with. So, yeah, so sad. Like we didn't get a chance to eat it.
Yeah.
Another restaurant down. I feel like that's the saddest thing during this period. Like, you know, so many restaurants are being hit so hard. That we're losing all these like great places that, you know, we might never try again.
Yeah, and like just looking at how travel is kind of not possible, except for Phuket apparently. But yeah.
So sad. Well, let's go to Indonesia because there is kind of a naughty story here. So two Indonesian men have been arrested for allegedly forcing a toddler to drink alcohol.
Dude.
Two young men in East Luwu Regency, South Sulawesi, were arrested by the police after they allegedly forced a toddler to down an alcoholic drink. There were two videos released onto Facebook by a 20-year-old guy known as FE and 19-year-old guy known as MRH. They are basically coaxing a boy into drinking a wine-like beverage in a plastic cup. So the boy obeys the two adults, has a drink, and you know, he gets refilled. Like Effie pours more drinks for him and he drinks a few more.
Oh no.
And then they tell him to start playing it. And then the second video shows a more like a disturbing turn because the kid is like drunk. Like he is like stumbling around, losing his balance. And you know, he falls into like some wooden blocks and starts screaming. But the two adults are just like laughing and sort of enjoying some of the shenanigans. So the cops obviously came down, arrested them, and after the video was circulated. And yeah, really, like, I mean, this is really naughty, and not just naughty, but really, like, really crappy, you know, like to get a super minor to have a drink. I think under Indonesia's child protection law, they might get 15 years in prison or 5 billion IDR fine. Really nasty.
Wait, I'm just wondering if this constitutes, I don't know, child abuse. Yeah. Like what?
Yeah, certainly. I really think so. I mean, it's like you're getting like a kid, like, you know, like a child. The child looked like, you know, I don't think they revealed how old the child was. But, you know, I would say between like 4 and 6, you know, like wasn't like a.
Yeah. I'm just looking like, at the pics now. Like, he, that looks like a small dude. Like,
like a little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of, and it's not cool. And yeah, you know, like I'm sure all of us have had like, you know, maybe a sip of something before the age that we should have. But like, I mean, this is like, you know, on a whole another level. Like this is kind of like bullying a little child and making him like abusing him, really. So let's hope that they learn their lesson and, you know, people kind of know this is not okay.
And yeah, just switch gears a bit. Over in Hong Kong, it's a rough life no more because now you can catch an Uber with your pets in Hong Kong. Woo!
Woohoo!
But yeah, so Uber is officially pet inclusive with the introduction of Uber Pet in Hong Kong. You can now take your furry companions for a ride. And yeah, the company announced Tuesday that riders will be able to match with a driver who has opted to transport pets on the Uber app, paying a surcharge of 20 Hong Kong dollars. That's like 260 USD. And yeah, the new option will launch on August 28th. That's the day. Yay.
Awesome.
Yeah, but those riding with service animals like guide dogs do not have to pay any extra costs. Yeah, that's equality right there. Okay. But yeah, so the company said from now on, whether you are taking your family dog for a run by the park, taking your cat to the vet, or bringing home a new dog from the animal shelter, traveling with furry friends is now made much easier with Uber Pet. And yeah, of course, the Uber Pets is already available in US, Australia, and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, here in Singapore, we do get Grab Pets as well. So good for them.
Okay, yeah. Do you think that's pretty popular? Like, you're someone who has a pet?
Oh, I'm a godson to a pet. It's my friend's dog.
Oh,
but yeah.
Okay.
I have used the service like many a time, you know, to transport this giant golden retriever to the office. It's been a source of joy, I would say. And yeah, this is actually much needed it's a much needed option for pet owners in Hong Kong who by law cannot take their animal companions, with the exception of guide dogs, on buses or the MTR. And pets are allowed on taxis and minibuses, but drivers have the right to refuse service to pet owners. So it's good that, you know, there's this like service specially for pets.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like, it applies to just like pets. Like all types of pets, like dogs, cats. I assume just like dogs and cats, and largely just dogs, right?
Yeah, I guess like, I don't know if you have horses in Hong Kong, probably not. But yeah, that might be a later legislation. No.
Like, if I want to walk my iguana down like Causeway Bay.
Just get your fighting fish, all of your fighting fish together in the cab.
Oh yeah, that's right. Like a whole tank.
A whole tank, dude. Like, bring an arowana so like, you know, people won't steal it.
And they can't do it on buses and the MTR, but in Singapore we can't bring any pets on the train, right?
Yeah, just guide dogs.
Just guide dogs. So guide dogs are allowed, and buses as well, or
yeah, I
just
think so.
Okay. Sure. Wasn't sure. Yeah, I wasn't even aware about Grab Pet actually. So that's kind of cool that like people can bring their animals around. I guess like if you need to bring your pet to the vet, you know, that's pretty much like your only option, and if not, you're calling someone who has a car that can help you. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, so our top story of the week, and it's not a good one, guys. So YouTuber Dawood Kim says sorry to woman who accused him of attempted rape.
Oh god.
Yeah, okay. So South Korean YouTuber Dawood Kim, who gained fame in Malaysia after converting to Islam last year, has publicly apologized to a woman who accused him of trying to rape her more than a year ago. So he came out on his YouTube channel, which is about like 2 million subscribers, and yeah, talked about the incident and apologized for doing what he did. He said he was drunk. He couldn't really remember the incident, which happened in Hongdae, South Korea. He said, "I'm sincerely sorry for the part that she was hurt by me. I'm sorry. I know it's really bad." He went on to say that, "I am also very sorry to my subscribers who have been shocked and disappointed." Yeah, this is kind of a tough one because the woman came out because there was sort of a non-disclosure agreement by them. And yeah, so basically he said that he made a huge mistake. And there was like a breaking of NDA and a huge controversy. Now, you know, there might be like more repercussions to the situation. Yeah, this Dawood Kim is kind of infamous now.
Yeah, I don't know about these like YouTube apologies and like, is he allowed to speak out? Is this dude allowed to speak out when there's a police investigation, I'm assuming, going on?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, I think it's kind of a gray area because, it's funny because, like, I think he was trying to say that, like, yeah, whatever, like, something happened, he was, like, apologetic for it and didn't give out, like, too many details. And then he said that, like, oh, I made a mistake, but it was sorted out by both parties.
There was an NDA, so they agreed not to bring it up again with the condition that this dude would keep the apology on his page. Mm-hmm. But he deleted it, so she's starting, she's bringing this situation to light again. And rightfully so, because it's an NDA. Like, what are the repercussions from that, even, like, if you don't hold up your end of the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then he said, like, at first I thought I didn't do it because I didn't remember. But after I listened to their words, I felt guilty. And I'm like, dude, I hate anything where people are like, I didn't remember. Even if you're drunk as heck, you remember. And I think like anything as awful as this, you would sort of, you know, it's just a bogus like excuse, I feel.
Yeah, it's more believable that, you know, you're saying you were drunk and you don't remember. It's like more convenient for you to say that, you know, as a defense. I don't know.
Yeah, like being drunk doesn't like, you know, like give you sort of carte blanche to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel a lot of times that's always the excuse. Oh, I was drunk, so I did this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
Yeah, so that's a really kind of crummy one. And, you know, he also went on to say that, like, the incident happened before he turned to Islam. So, you know, people were coming out to say, well, you shouldn't use, like, you know, sort of your religious, like, your newly found, like, religion as, you know, sort of a cover-up in a way. So,
yeah,
lots of mixed reactions. And, you know, but some people did say that, you know, oh, you know, everyone makes mistakes and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, there's a lot of people who are, like, you know, on both sides of the fence. Yeah, so it's kind of just a very messy, sad situation.
Yeah, but I guess it's always important to believe the victims first when they come out with stories like these.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's pretty much all our top stories for the week. Do you have any fun plans for the weekend, Summer? Are there any cool things happening in Singapore?
Not without big crowds, so I'm just going to say no. But that's for me. How about you?
Yeah. Fair enough. No, I'm more of a hermit. Like, I don't really do a lot of stuff. I think, like, we're all, I think, not just in Singapore, but just across, like, Southeast Asia and Hong Kong, waiting for, you know, more, I guess, for things to just get better a bit so that, you know, we can kind of slowly get back to more group activities and getting out and doing more fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I know the situation's slowly getting better and yay, thanks government and stuff, but you know, it's like people still kind of don't remember to, you know, social distance, like especially in trains and stuff. Like, I guess there's no way to really, you know, be very far apart, like keep a huge amount of space between people, but damn, some people like to stand really close, huh?
Yeah,
the for what?
Personal bubbles are those are things that I think unfortunately never change in Asia.
At this rate, like even like all of us getting like those bubble boy style suits might be okay. Might be a good idea. Don't know if we want to look into that, but okay.
That's funny. Subscribe to the podcast, guys, and leave your reviews. Tell us how you feel and what you like and don't like. We're excited to hear from you. The more you do that, the more we can get juicy, juicy news to you. We will see you guys next week.
Woo!
Bye! Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support Coconuts and our weird and wondrous stories, you can become a Coco Plus member at coconuts.co/membership. Make a patron payment at coconuts.co/patron or buy our fresh merch at the Coconut Shop at shop.coconuts.co.
The Coconuts Podcast is a Coconuts Media production. Our hosts are Byron Perry, Vim Shamugam, and Summer Lee. Our production manager is Clarissa Cortez. Our editor is Raina Lim.